Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The Lord heard you sing, because as you just sang, as we sang together, that was a prayer unto the Lord. It was a sense that we've been paying attention to what God wants us to know, that God has a beautiful dream from heaven for your earthly life. That's called hope. From Genesis to Revelation, the story of the conversation in Scripture, God wants it to be clear to each of you and to all of us that he has hope for you individually and hope for us together. And that we're in service of this great hope vision called the dream of God, to be of service of the entire world. That's the promise. And as we sang the song, we also sang our commitment that we are listening and we are hearing. We're hearing in a way that we know that we will respond in all the ways that we understand now, but we will grow into what we yet have to learn. That's the story of Joseph. In the last 13 chapters in the book of Genesis, the opening book of the Bible, is a fascinating character called Joseph. He came from a seemingly one-of-a-kind family. His great-grandparents were Abraham and Sarah, founders of the great faith movement within Scripture. His grandparents were Isaac and Rebecca, who continued the story about dynamic faith in troubled times. His dad was Jacob and his mom was Rachel. His dad's name would change from Jacob to Israel, the same Israel that we know from the Scripture and that we speak of today. Joseph then was one of the sons in Jacob's life. Now, talk about a blended family. Joseph came from a blended family. His father had gave birth to 12 sons and some daughters by four women. And putting all of that together within a blended family, well, some of you think you have a challenge with your blended family. You can imagine this challenge. It added to what Pastor Debbie was describing, the tension within Joseph's family. And why his brothers had a resentment to him for a whole bunch of reasons, including exactly what Pastor Debbie and I want to highlight for us today, what we do with the giftedness that God gives us in a way that's of service of God and it's not the service of our own ego. But also there was a lot of just wonderment, where do I stack up in this family? And in that tension, God speaks his promise. See, God doesn't wait for circumstances to get perfect in order to begin with your life. God doesn't wait for you to get all cleaned up on the inside in order for him to accept you. Some of us have lived long enough to know it just doesn't work that way because we can never clean ourselves up. It's his grace that does that miraculous work. It is his the arc of his grace that set circumstances that had gone askew and went sideways more times than we can count, that it gets the pathway of our life to go straight. So in this whole series in the month of May, looking at the life of Joseph, we want you to be reading Genesis 37 through 50. Put yourself in the story. Ask yourself how you're growing into the dreams of God. And today's question is, where are God's dreams taking you? Where are God's dreams taking you in life? You may be saying to yourself, well, God's dream got me to where I am right now. Thanks a bunch, God. The last place I wanted to be. And the good news is, if you're surprised about where you are and you don't want to be where you are, God's not going to leave you there, but you got to partner with him to get at a different place. But you may discover that you're exactly where you need to be in order to go where you need to go. You may be exactly where you are in your circumstances of life in order to God through work through your life to help build the dreams in the lives of others. So how do we realize our personal dreams? So God's arc for us, it includes all that is best for you, but how is it that we can become a blessing for other people to realize God's dreams? The arc is the movement of God through the course of your life, from the time you were conceived and that you were born, from the time that you learned to crawl, toddle, walk, and run, and the day you will get or you have gotten the keys to the car and a graduation and decisions as a young adult that led you into your 30s and 40s where you make those mortgage payments on those earlier decisions. that take you into those ages of 50s and 60s, and then you see the accumulation of a season of life that gets you into the 70s and 80s and 90s if we live long enough. That's a long time, but in God's time, it's a short time. And His great arc is always trying to work His best in our life. And as we are faithful and responsive, then we get it, and more of His goodness shapes the days in which we are living. And you've been surprised. You've been surprised by some good things that happened to you. You know you didn't deserve. And you've been surprised about some things that should never have happened to you, and yet they came your way. And in all of it, the arc of God's sovereign grace was working good out of bad situations and blessing you with these good situations. Last weekend, when our leadership team was leading in powerful worship and CMAC was bringing a dynamic message, Vicki and I were in New Orleans, officiating the wedding in a surprising way for a couple. That is, this is Reed and Leslie. Leslie Shoup is marrying the son of one of my dearest friends from college days. My dear friend and Reed's dad couldn't be there because he died in July of 2012. That is, he couldn't be there in person. But where we met in the beautiful park of New Orleans, there was a photograph of Duncan on the chair next to Debbie's chair, his wife, his widow. And I had the privilege of officiating back in the late 1980s Duncan and Debbie's wedding along the banks of the San Antonio River at La Monte and Del Rio. I got to see Austin when he was just a little boy, about the age of when Stephen was at that age, and the age of Stephen, our youngest today. And when his dad died, I stayed connected to Austin and also to Debbie. And so when it was time for Reed to marry, to have a dream of his life come true with his wife, Leslie, he asked if I would officiate the service and said yes. And there we were. Not like it was originally hoped that it would be, but there it is in the grace of God's great arc. And for Reed's life and for his now wife's life and for Debbie, Duncan's wife. And for them, God's grace was continuing to go forward, though caught surprised by a heart attack of a great man who died way before we thought he would. Now, all of the family could have said, you know, Dad's gone, my husband's died, and we are in shock, and we will not go forward with our lives. They did just the opposite. Many of you have been caught in that same situation. And in the midst of this, God says, the dream goes on. Because we're in the service of God's great best to occur, and all of us are to be helpful for other people to realize God's dreams for their life. This week, may you be a blessing in the lives of others by asking them, how can I help you? How may I hope for you? That's language from Kentucky, when the language was, come hope me, is in the mountain language of come help me. And so in the story, how do we do this? Well, we do it first by giving the Lord the desires of our heart so that that our dreams may be trustworthy. A lot of us have a lot of dreams that are just driven by our own ego, driven by our own personal desires. And God loves you so much that He's not going to let your personal ego-centered dreams to be blessed by Him. He's not going to let you live in those small circumstances. He's not going to leave you to your own selfishness. He wants you to step out of that into the larger realm of what He has for you. Now, for me, it's the same situation that we have to learn, like what the psalmist prayed in reflecting back on the story of Joseph in Psalm 37:4. King David put it this way. Delight yourself in the Lord, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Before our own hopes, called dreams, can be trustworthy, they have to be purified and refined by God's grace and God's best for our life. Some of the best answered prayers on your part are the prayers you prayed to be answered and they weren't answered like you prayed them. And if God didn't answer the prayers that you had been praying, I hope that you've kept your eyes open of how He was answering that prayer in a way differently than what you expected. Because believe me, He's been at work to make that clear to you. The story then is the story of God's great promise and truth of how we do this. Well, we help to demonstrate it for each other. The Maldonado family just 2 Sundays ago, they were baptized as a family. And in their baptism, what we see is a dad and a mom and four beautiful children. And each of them made an individual commitment to give their life to Christ Jesus. And they also, working with the Holy Spirit's timing in their life, did it together as a family where they could be baptized as a family. And each of them in their own way also said through their baptism that we want to have a heart desire for God together as a family. Well, that puts them way down the road of being able to see God's possibilities for them by the sense of the immersion of their full life in Jesus Christ. And then to encourage each other and hold each other accountable, saying, is this really God's best? Is this what we committed ourselves to through our faith in Christ under obedience to Him? Is this how we are to live? What a gift that is when we may hold each other up to that best promise of what God provides. Maybe that's what the father of Joseph and the 11 others that Joseph wanted to give a blessing to, that Jacob wanted to give to. Jacob, the father of Joseph, gave his beloved son Joseph this coat of many colors. It was a robe that was woven with the finest of fabric and the most brilliant of colors. In a vivid look, one saw that robe and realized this is unique and whoever wears it must be uniquely loved. It's absolutely wonderful to give unique blessings to the lives of our family member and our friends. But it's important to equally give blessings to everyone in the family. I remember I was preaching a revival back in Missouri. And I went to lunch after one of the services, and one of the ministers was there. And we were having lunch, and he was just really coming down hard on one of his children. Just a little boy. And he was just really holding up this other son. He was just making it really easy for him. And he said, you know, I got to tell you, Les, I just really, really like this son. And I really don't know what I'm going to do with this one. Well, exactly. I mean, it was time of a repentance of a father. Time of a repentance of a father to say, man, you've gotten your own ego stuff in the center of your heart that's going to mess everything up. But God has a vision for your heart as a dad that's bigger than that. Your heart doesn't have to get smaller to show a blessing to one. Your heart can get big enough to show a blessing to all of them. And it's a hard lesson. And so Jacob had a hard time with it. He was grieving. He'd been angry. He'd been disappointed in life. But he kept on moving forward. He just, like me, he just couldn't get it fully right. And it caused these problems. But it's also true, though, is that Joseph was unique. What's also true in the midst of the poor application of a blessing for Joseph, it was right that Joseph had a special mission in life and that God wasn't going to let that mission be lost because dad Jacob couldn't do it right in how he's going to bless his son, and that Joseph was going to mess up God's big vision because he thought it was all about him and not about God and not about others. See, when you can't go to sleep tonight, my prayer for you is that you'll ask why you can't go to sleep. Now, if it's because you drank 4 cups of coffee just before you went to bed, then it's on you. Or if you had your three extra pieces of the pepperoni pizza, you know, again, that's on you. You know, the other 2 weeks ago, I was just feeling lousy. And I was just, on the second day of feeling lousy, I had to reschedule appointments and all that goes with it, you know. I asked, you know, why am I feeling so bad? And my body, like a body wisdom, was saying to me, because what you're eating is killing me. Oh. It's like a body wisdom was saying to me, if you keep eating this way, buddy, you're going to die earlier than you need to be, and it's all on you. Well, got my attention. When we can't find peace, maybe there's a stirring about a change in our life that's needed. And so the story here is that this Jacob, who became known as Israel, gave him the robe, and the robe was the sign of this great love, and it became the source of great resentment among the brothers. Now, God wants your blessing. You, each of you, have a unique blessing of who you are, a unique blessing of your own DNA, a unique blessing about your life journey, a unique blessing of what God wants to do through your life for the rest of your life. And as you give that uniqueness to him, he'll work through that uniqueness to keep you humble, because it's a tremendous responsibility, but to give you the joy of seeing that to be shared with others. That's going to be Joseph's big lesson by the time we get to chapter 39 and 40. It took him 13 years to learn it. How long is it taking you? Give your heart desires to the Lord, so the Lord may give you the dreams of your heart. Take the coat of many colors as a blessing of encouragement, not a sign of arrogance. Two is then to change. Change from the inside out so that your outer life will match your inner life. Open yourself to seeing how you can be used in God's purposes. In the story of Joseph with his family, he thought early in his life, when he was 17 years old, who could have blamed him? Well, his brothers blamed him at 17. He thought it was all about all of his brothers coming back to him and saying, "Oh, you're the most wonderful brother we could ever have. Oh, if only I could be like you." And he would say, "Yeah, you're right, you know." Purged by experiences in life, Joseph repented from that false understanding. And purging from it, then he realized that what their brothers intended for harm, God would use for good. To do so then, he would need to change. He would need to change his relationship with God in a humility, and his love for his brothers of genuinely stepping over their own envy and their own anger and their own vengeance, and stepping over all of that, which is ever so hard to do. One of the gifts that we may give people is to help people to work from their best and not the worst. All of us working with people. Many times I'll have to ask that question. I don't think this is the best version of this person. How can I be of service to God to help the best version of this person come to the forefront? Because if we connect to the worst version of a person that may be acting out, then all we're going to get is a lot of ego struggle and wrestling matches that's not going to bring anything good. But if we step beyond that and we step into, "Lord, help me to see your hope and your promise with this person in a way that I may be used by you to help change the situation as you both change me and you change this person." That's what Joseph would learn to do with his family. Now, God used a special way to give a revealing of this for Joseph. It's also a way that God can use for you. That is, the dreams when we sleep, or a vision during the day, can be a special revelation of God, a special revelation of God to show us in a right direction of what God is wanting. So when we go to sleep at night, some of our dreams, not all of our dreams, and sometimes not most of our dreams, but some of our dreams are messages of how we need to reshape our life in light of God. And Joseph's dad, Jacob, had that ability. Joseph had that ability. And so Joseph used those dreams to capture a teaching of God even before he fully understood what it was. You know, we find it in the scriptures. Gideon had it. What we just sang is really the vision of Isaiah 6 about, "Here I am, Lord, send me." That was a day vision in worship. Ezekiel had it when he was in a tough situation in his vision dreams. Jeremiah had it when he said, "I know the plans that I have for you, the plans to help you and not to hurt you," in Jeremiah 29:11. We know that in the story of the Apostle Paul had in 2 Corinthians 12 when he had visions of being in a third heaven. We know that Joseph, the stepdad of Jesus, had dreams at night to know God's will. And on that story goes, there are times that we can pay attention that God's trying to cleanse us on the inside. But most of the time, God will reveal that as we study his scripture. Most of the time, the Lord will get that as we reflect on him and God gives a direction, maybe in the wisdom of people and the counsel of people for our life. And then we change who we are on the inside so that our actions that we're living kind of fit that and they work with that. Yeah, it can all get real confusing, can't it? But God can bring clarity as we were trusting in him. Terzica was living in the most difficult of circumstances. She was in Warsaw, Poland, and in the midst of the anguish of war there, she was put into the home for special children. During the chaos of war, it was hard for her to ever kind of get a feel for that going right. And all she could see were just kind of circles in her mind, and she needed people to help show her. You can see on her face the terror of what she'd seen. Her parents killed, children killed, the domination of her society by the evil forces of Hitler's group. And to try to make sense of all that, all she could do is draw circles and lines. And she needed loving people to come alongside her to help heal the wounds that were behind all of that. And that's part of the grace of what we gift in the lives of people, helping them make sense of their life in light of God. And then we get closer. We give the Lord the desires of our heart so that the dreams of our heart will be trustworthy. We give our inner life to the Lord so that our outer life actions will just come because of how we're motivated by our inner life. And thirdly, we have to get closer to God during life reversals. All of us have experienced reversals in life. When things didn't end up as we wanted them to be and maybe as they shouldn't have been. But here's the good news from God, that life reversals placed into the hands of God will end up going in the right direction. If you know Romans 8:28, say it with me. For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. Among the reasons why some of us have learned that is that we've been in the midst of situations that weren't good, and we were claiming a promise of God by loving him and being called to his purpose, that he could create a great reversal out of that. Please hear this. If life has disappointed you, get closer to God, not more distant from God. If life has disappointed you, lean into God, not away from God. Because in that very disappointment, God may be bringing you closer to his best hopes for your life. Because in the humbling of pain and the midst of the sorrow, we are so teachable if we're not consumed by anger and jealousy. And so this promise of God comes by a force. In the last verse of chapter 37 that Scott and Rhonda did a beautiful job of reading for us. It's like a foreshadowing verse. It's like, you know, the page turner that when you're reading a book and you can't find yourself stopping, and because the last paragraph of a chapter leads you into the next chapter and you can't wait to see what happens. And then the last chapter of that chapter leads you into the next chapter. And so the last verse in chapter 37 says, meanwhile, this Joseph, who was sold into slavery and human trafficking, sold by his brothers who had thought to kill him and patted themselves on the back because they decided to sell him as a slave and not murder him, who had took his robe and bathed it in the blood of goats and took it back to their dad and say, look at what happened to your beloved son. He was devoured by the animals. And when they sold him to the Ishmaelites, distant relatives, and they crossed the Sinai Desert, they got into Egypt. And there, the hand of God was at work, touching a man of power called Potiphar. And God touched the eyes of Potiphar to see there's something about this Hebrew, this Abaru, something about this person where he should purchase him and bring them into the household of responsibility. Human trafficking is a dastard sin, more prevalent today than any other time in human history. And we are doing a part, but so much more for us to do to stop that. And here's Joseph, caught in the midst of it, and in the worst of it, God's going to bring about good. Now, are you ready to trust God at the next level? Are you ready to take that hurt and anger, maybe that you've only known that in your life, and just kind of let it go into his hands and say, Lord, make my path straight out of broken dreams that I may see you more clearly? Or maybe you've needed to say, Lord, I haven't thanked you enough. I've been so blessed and was so, I come just with gratitude to say to you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That can be this firsthand relationship. Just like Joseph had to come to his own firsthand trust in God, so it is by Jesus Christ that you may come today and say, Lord Jesus, I accept my need for forgiveness and I believe in you as the Son of God. I commit my life to follow you. I'm ready now, Lord, for the rest of my life to walk into your best dream for me through Jesus. It may be that as on Sundays, that this is your Sunday to say, I'm ready to be a part of this dream family, this dream family of Trinity Baptist Church, where the hopes of growing in love and growing friendships and growing spiritually and growing in your life being used with talents to help others, to grow into that dream purpose by being a member here with commitment in your life. Maybe you want to pray. I'll be up here, and Christopher, if you'll join me, we'd like to pray with you. And it's just that, and then you may come and make these public decisions for the Lord. As the worship team leads us in music, let's stand together.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.